Blog Talk Radio. Talk about it. Hi, I'm Carmen, and I'll be your host tonight. Today is May 11th, 2024, Saturday. Another week has gone by. My goodness, how time flies, huh? Well, I hope you had a good week. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. I hope you have a good time tomorrow with your family and your loved ones celebrating Mother's Day. Mothers are special. Without them, we wouldn't be here, would we? Well, there's nobody like mom. There's nobody like a relationship with a woman called mom. No one. So make sure you take some time, go out there, celebrate, go visit your aunt, your mother, your family members, and have a good time. All right. These past weeks, I've been talking about holiness. And holiness is something we need to look at from different angles because it's not just one thing. But I'm going to make it really simple. Sometimes, you know, we overthink things and we think that it's this or that. And, you know, it's just being obedient. Being obedient to what God says in his word. And holiness is being set apart where the world will see that you belong to him in every sense of the word. It's not only the way you look, the way you do things, the way you not do things, the way everything that is about you. And we're going to look at something in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, but it still applies today. It very much still applies today. Just because the Old Covenant was done with doesn't mean that there's not things that we still continue to do. And it's not about us doing things. What we do because we love God, not that we do things to accept, have God accept us. No. But we still, you know, we need to separate ourselves, set ourselves apart so that when someone looks at us, they know that we belong to him. And it's not about all that. It starts from the inside out. Just like the song that I just played, I'm no longer my own. I'm your garden. I belong to you, Jesus. And so we belong to him, and we do things in a garden. You can't do anything you want and then expect your garden to bear fruit, right? There's some things that even apply to that. So we're going to look at the book of Leviticus, and we're going to cover some things before I take some calls. Give me 1 second here. And it all starts by God saying that he's holy, that we should be holy because he is holy. And it starts in chapter 19, the Lord is holy. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That says it all. He said it in the first two sentences. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. Hello, Mother's Day is tomorrow. We need to honor our parents. We need to honor our mother. But not only once a year, daily, all the time. And just because we are adults and we get married and we move away does not mean that we don't continue to respect and honor them. It doesn't mean that we do something that goes against what God says, whether we're young or whether we're adults. But there's ways of still honoring them and doing things. You know, it's our attitude towards them. And the Sabbath, hello, we need to take our time of rest, our spiritual rest also, our physical rest, because it'll catch up to us. How many people don't when they violate these things and they work, and they're, you know, little machines, and next thing you know, they're sick. They have, and I'm guilty of that. And they end up with something. They end up with shingles. They end up with diseases. Why? Because they end up with heart problems. Why? Because they violated the Sabbath. They didn't take care of themselves. And so God says, you know, thank God we're not put to death. Like in the old days, in the Bible days, that when they violated some command that God had put in place, they would end up dead. They were put to death. Thank God but we still have consequences to violating what God wants us to do. There are consequences. Sometimes God is long-suffering and he allows time to go by, but we don't know when is the last time you're going to violate that and you're going to reap what you sowed. So why not be obedient? Disobedience causes trouble. It says here in verse 4, do not turn to idols and make of yourself any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God. So people today, they worship other gods. They worship other things. Some people may think that they're not even worshiping something, and they are. The word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't understand what they're doing, but it's pulling them away from God. It's not allowing them to get close to God. And, you know, in these last days that we're living in, I'm not saying that we're going to be in. We're already in the last days. We're in the days where things are coming to a close. And those that are going to be protected are those that are going to be able to hear God. Why? Because they're obedient to God. But if you're walking in disobedience, you are leaving the door wide open to not even knowing or hearing God's voice, hearing his direction. And we need to hear God's direction in these days so that we know what next steps to do, what to do in our lives to be following what he says. Because only God knows what's coming ahead. Only God knows what we need to do, where we need to be at. He's the one that's protecting us. If we don't follow his, we're not obedient to listening to him, then we're out of his protection. And being holy keeps us under God's protection. These days, we need this more than ever. All right, verse 5. When you offer a sacrifice, a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. Anything that you offer to God, God looks at our hearts. He doesn't look at what we give so much as what's in our heart, how we give it, with what heart are we giving this. Look at Cain. Cain gave an offering, but he killed his brother. He had stuff in his heart. And so what his brother's offering was accepted because it was done the way God said. He was obedient to what God had already ordained that he would accept a sacrifice to him. It shall be eaten the same day you offered it or on the day after. Anything left over until the third day shall be burnt up with fire. If it is eaten at all on the third day, it is tainted. It will not be accepted. And everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity because he has profaned what is holy to the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from his people. So you see, again, God gives us directions on how to do it. Not the way we want to do things, but the way that he says to do things. And we have to be careful. We can't be legalistic about, you know, so we have to do everything that the Old Testament. No, we have to follow what the Holy Spirit says. And thank God for the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, because we still make mistakes. But when we repent, God is accepting of that. And yeah, you may say, it may be too late for me because I've done so much wrong. Well, no, there's still time for you if you repent with the right heart and be obedient to what God says. Okay, it talks in verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleaning after you harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. In other words, God gives you abundance. From your abundance, give unto others. God doesn't want you to take it all and forget about other people. But and I say that also when we give, it's not only financial, it's not only in things, it's also in spiritual things. God has blessed us so much that we need to give of our abundance to others. What we have received from God, we need to give to others. And God is not saying, oh, give everything that you have. No, he gives you, but he also gives you overflowing, abundantly. Jesus came to give you in abundance so that you can have and so that you can share in all the sense of the word. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Here it's talking about stealing. Stealing. Stealing can be so easy. Sometimes when there's many people nowadays, because they don't have, they think that it's okay to go steal. It's okay to go to Walmart and steal something. But no, it's not. Just because you don't have the money, there's other ways. You need to pray instead. Don't go stealing. There's going to be many that will go stealing in these days that are coming as things get harder. But instead of seeking God, God will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. He'll provide for everything. How many stories haven't I heard of God coming through for people when they didn't have? Stealing is taking matters in your own hands. Stealing is fear. But God will forgive if you repent. He doesn't want us to deal falsely with one another. He wants us to be truthful. And he doesn't want us to be lying to one another. Sometimes we have people have a fear, and they lie to other people because if they knew the truth about a certain situation, people wouldn't think about them the same way. But sometimes that's the enemy lying. The enemy will lie to you about some situation you may be going through. And instead of telling the truth, you hide things from others. And you make the situation even worse. Because then later on, people can't trust you. So lying, no matter if you think a little lie is going to get you through, it's not. It's not right. God doesn't want us to lie. Because God is not a God that lies to us either. And he doesn't want us to swear. We shouldn't use God's name to swear. Swearing is cursing. We're really cursing ourselves when we swear. God doesn't want us to use his name. He doesn't want us to use his name, to use it as how many young people, and it's like every other word, bleep, 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 bleep. You have to bleep out the words because they're cussing all the time, using God's name in vain. If you look in social media, everything, it's like it's okay with them. It's cool. It's not cool. You're cursing yourself. You're being disobedient. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. God wants us, if somebody is working for you, you need to pay these people. You need to pay them quickly. Because if they did their job, why are you holding their money? I know situations of many people that have told me how companies have held the money that they're supposed to give their employees. Maybe a week later they'll pay them. That's wrong. That's sin. You shall not cursed to death or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. In other words, the handicapped, people that have issues, you shouldn't do any, you shouldn't make fun of them. You shouldn't treat them wrong. That's wrong. You shouldn't talk bad about them. Don't do anything that will be, that will make their lives hard. There are people that are just cruel. And if they can do that to animals, they can do that to people too. There's people that have such a dark heart. And if you know anyone, we need to let people know that that is not pleasing to God. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I like to get to the point. I'm not one to roam around and go on and on about a certain topic. Plain and simple, stop it. Don't do that. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall you judge your neighbor. When we do jury duty, we need to tell the truth. When, if you are a judge, you're supposed to treat people right. You shouldn't go give anyone any favors just because they have money. There are some people that are like that. If they've done wrong, they've done wrong. If they're innocent, well, then they're innocent. You can't sugarcoat things. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. So God doesn't want you to be bad-mouthing people and talking against them because you're killing their character. You're assassinating them. You're assassinating their character. God doesn't want us to go around talking and belittling other people. It may be true. It may be true what you're saying, but God doesn't want you to be saying anything. God doesn't need you to be talking about it. God is not like that. So we are to be holy like God is holy. Sometimes we get mad at people that have done us wrong. And it's hard sometimes. And I think this is a sin that I think everybody has done it at some time or another. If you're doing something like this, repent. Stop talking about those that have done you wrong. Stop talking about it. Repent. Forgive them. But sometimes that forgiveness has to be given over and over and over again. Sometimes new things come, and you have to realize that you have to forgive them again. Something else that they did. How many times did Jesus say to forgive? He told the apostles. It wasn't once, as many times, right? So you need to forgive. It may be about the same thing. You need to forgive. And do know this. They may do some other stuff. Prepare yourself. But guard your heart. Don't get angry. Just forgive and leave them in the hands of the Lord. It's not an easy thing to do, but when you leave it in God's hands, He helps you. And God also helps us when we are close to a temptation. When we pray, it's amazing what he does. He comes to our help quickly, and he helps us because he knows that we can't. When we ask for help, he comes through. You shall not hate your brother. This is verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. See, we have to do it quickly. We need to not hold anything in our hearts. We have to guard our hearts and guard our mouth. I was talking about that with someone today, about a family member that hasn't gotten better, but it's their mouth. The things that come out of this person's mouth, they're receiving exactly what they're saying. They've said things over and over and over. It's finally happening to them. And so we try to minister to people, but there's some people that are so stubborn in their ways, and they don't realize that they're stubborn to their own wrongdoing. So we need to be careful with our mouths. We need to forgive, watch what goes into our hearts, what other people do to us, because it can make us bitter. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the son of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Self-explanatory. Forgive those. Don't seek vengeance. Watch yourself. When you want to gossip, Lord, help me. Help me, help me. Help me, help me. Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. But the spirit is strong. The spirit of God is strong. He'll help you. It says in verse 19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed. Nor shall you wear a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material. Even in how we dress, God is concerned. He wants us to be known that we belong to him, that we are set apart. The garments were made in a different way. Today, people find that their garments are mixed. And if truth be known, I've noticed that all over the world, a lot of places, they sell the same thing. I've seen where I've traveled and I found the same clothing. And I'm like, well, how in the world, how are they expecting this type of clothing to fit okay for this type of climate? Do you know that in Egypt, they were the people that go doing studies and looking for ark things that are in the dirt, they wear special clothing. They wear linen because the linen whisks away the sweat. It's not mixed with anything else. And so we need to dress appropriately. We need to dress appropriately. Today, people are not dressing, and they're not giving the vibe that they're set apart. They look like they're more of the world. They dress like the world. They act like the world. And then they say that they belong to God. We're set apart. We're set apart. And I'm not saying, you know, dress like a nun. You know, there's ways of looking okay, especially for women. Men don't have that much of a problem. They still do. There's some guys that dress and you're like, oh, what did he think when he was picking those clothes? But we need to be careful how we dress because it gives us a certain vibe about us to other people, especially women. I know believers, people that call themselves believers, and they'll criticize everybody else because they're wearing pants. And yet their little skirts are so tight, and you can see everything. You can see everything. And I'm like, they're blind to their own sin, but yet they want to see the sin in everybody else. And you know me, I open my mouth and I say so. And I make people think. And that's what we're called to, but we need to do it in love. We need to make them see for themselves that this is not, that's if the Holy Spirit leads you to do that. Sometimes it's better not to say anything and to pray for them and let the Holy Spirit bring conviction. All right, verse 20. If a man lies sexually with a woman who is a slave assigned to another man and not yet ransomed or given her freedom, a distinction shall be made. They shall not be put to death because she was not free, but she shall bring his compensation to the Lord, to the entrance of the tent of meeting. to a ram for a guilt offering. That was because there was slavery. If she still belonged to somebody else and she was still a slave, well, it was wrong to give that person to someone else as a wife. She had to be free. And God forgave. Even in those instances, back then, God has the solution. God knows best. He knows what's best to resolve an issue. Repentance and keep on moving on. Correct yourself and keep moving. And the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before the Lord for his sin that he has committed. And he shall be forgiven for the sin that he has committed. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Jesus, that we don't have to be killing any animals to be forgiven. He's already made atonement for that. He's already shed his blood for that. When you come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, then you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. So the 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. It must be it must not be eaten. And in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. So the first 3 years, it was forbidden to eat it. It was given, set aside for God. It says here, and in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat of its fruit to increase its yield for you. I am the Lord your God. I remember the testimony of this one man. He was not a Jew, but he wanted to be pleasing to God. And he said, I'm going to try this offering of my plants, because he would grow trees and lemon trees and things like that. And he took the first lemon tree, and he did what the Jews did. He let it rest, and then he let his land rest. I think it was on the seventh year he let it rest, and then with his tree, he did the same thing. In other words, he gave the tithe to the Lord, you know, allowing it to rest. Well, do you know that year, that lemon tree that he had, the lemons were bigger than they were ever before, bigger than all the other ones that he had planted before. He says it does work to be obedient to God. He did it. He tried it, and it did work. He sent himself, his field to the Lord. He set it apart. And when you set yourself apart, can you think, if God did that for the lemon tree, what would he do with your life? Your life will be bigger and better. Amen? When you come into the land, so we read that. Verse 26, you shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. This past week, I had gone to a bakery, and they had been selling some Puerto Rican food in the back part of it. And there that's one of the cuisines, the Puerto Rican cuisine, eating blood sausages. And I saw it from a distance, and I was like, immediately, this scripture came to my mind. And as a young girl, my parents would give this food to me. And I have had to repent of these things, and I've had to tell my family, no, thank you, I don't eat that. I don't go into details about why I don't eat it, you know, because then they'll say, oh, she's so religious and this and that. But I set myself apart. And when you set yourself apart, other people will see that there's something different about you. Oh, she doesn't eat this, you know. And do you know? I was, you know, looking at this, that the study of eating blood. I was reading an article And this was in PubMed, where you can see a lot of articles about issues with eating, with different things, with eating blood in food and in animals, and the blood of animals. It says here, however, potentially serious health and safety issues relate to blood consumption, particularly the risk of pathogenic or harmful metabolic material, the infectivity of prion diseases, and the presence of identified allergens such as bovine serum albumin, BSA, are causing many consumers to shy away from any product containing either animal blood or ingredients derived from animal blood. And it goes on and on and on talking about that. So sometimes we don't understand that the things in the Bible sometimes later on pop up in science and explain why the whole time that God says not to do something. It's to protect you. It's to protect you. So God says, don't have sex out of marriage. There's a reason why. It's not only spiritual, but it's also physical. It hurts you. There's a union with people that are not married. And they may think it's okay, but it's not. Okay, let's see. Let me go on because I know I have that topic further ahead. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who give any of his children to Molech. So, did I skip? Wait. No, I didn't skip. My phone went up a little bit too high. Let's go back to... Verse 19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle breed with different. We already read that. Verse 20, if a man lies sexually with a woman who is a slave, we read that one. The priest shall make atonement. No, 22, 23. When you come into the land and plant any kind of tree for food, then you shall regard its fruit as forbidden. So we talked about that. 26, you shall not eat any flesh with the blood. Let's skip down to 28. You shall not make any cuts on your body, the dead, or tattoo yourself. I am the Lord. We need to set ourselves apart. I know many Christians that they're tattooing themselves. And they're even putting scriptures on their body. But tattooing, God has not called us to tattooing. And I know even ministers that say it's okay. When years and years and years it was preached against it. We're set apart. We don't do as the world does. The world tattoos, there's parts of the world that do tattooing, and it's all with religion. They follow a religion and they do tattooing. We are not of those people. We do not tattoo. And I know many people have put some tattoos. My grandfather had tattoos. But my people perish for lack of knowledge. Many people have gotten sick putting tattoos on their body. It's a lot of little needles going into your skin. We need to be careful. Tattooing is not setting yourself apart. You're looking like the world is looking. And it actually opens you up. A lot of them have skeletons and demons and all this stuff. You're offering yourself to these demons. You're opening yourself up to that. There's been deliverance ministries that have set people free because of these tattoos. You never know the enemy is going to take advantage of you in. So be careful. Do not profane your daughter by making her a prostitute. Lest the land fall into prostitution and the land become full of depravity. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Again, with the Sabbath, resting, giving your daughters to prostitution. Do you know, I traveled around the world and I went to Switzerland, I believe it was, or was it Holland? I went to one of those places where in the square, it's a large square in the city, half of the city you can, you know, the tourists can stay in, but in the other half, they told us, don't go in on that side. On the other side, through the street, were windows, storefronts with women. They were naked. They sold themselves. Those are the daughters of that city, given into prostitution. It was legal there. And I know other parts of the world where it's legal to prostitute your daughter. The women can go. Korea is one of the places where it's legal. My ex-husband was a soldier, and he would say that these women would go prostituting on the weekend, and then on Sunday they would go to church, to a Catholic church. You know, how crazy is that? But in their country, it was okay. But God says here, do not profane your daughter by making her prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution and the land become full of depravity. This is not what I'm saying. This is what God is saying. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out and so make yourself unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. In social media, I've been seeing an increase of things that I never seen happening before. They're having live videos of people going on and giving tarot reading. And I was like, what is this about? And then when I saw the cards, the tarot cards, I was like, nope, skip. This is coming on our social media. Before, it used to be over the phone. Years ago, people would call up, and it would be commercials selling the reading. These are false prophets. I even have a cousin that got married to an Indian. He was a full-fledged Indian, and they were in the military, and they moved to Fort Sill. And she got in contact with other Indians and with these witch doctor Indians and with the whole bit with the Indian stuff. I know a lot of people are big into their Indian heritage and this and that, but a lot of the Indian heritage is not of God. A lot of the things that have happened to them is because they opened themselves to a lot of evil. Things that are not of the Lord, serving other gods. My ancestors, the Taino Indians, they were into also things that were not of God. The Tainos are part of the Indian tribes of Cuba, of Venezuela, of Puerto Rico, of Dominican Republic. All those bottom countries of to the south of the U.S., the Latin American countries, a lot of them have met the Taino and the Indian blood. And all of them, if you look at them, even in Africa, they have witch doctors. They do witchcraft. It's not of God. We need to renounce that from our bloodline, from our family bloodline, and get rid of that. I know it's cool to say, you know, well, I'm from this tribe and that tribe, you know, but my cousin, she's all messed up with her belief with, you know, the Indian tribes and this and that, and she knows what medicine is for this and what medicine is for that, and they do that here in the U.S. too with the Indians. So if you follow what they do, it's not of God. I mean, I'm not saying that these people are not godly. There are a lot of godly Indians, but they're giving themselves to the Lord and not doing the things that their ancestors used to do. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Indians are evil, because then I would be saying that our family is evil too, because I have Indian blood too, the Tainos. So there's mediums, there's necromancers, there's spiritism, there's all this stuff. Stay away from that stuff. You open doors. You open even doors playing with Ouija boards. Stay away from the Ouija boards. Stay away from things that take you into the dark, asking questions to things that you don't even know. Pray. Pray instead. Talk to God. He'll answer you. Do not seek them out, God says, and so make yourself unclean by them. So you make yourself unclean. Verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. In other words, respect your elders, your elderly people. Yeah, sometimes they don't know what they're saying, but don't be disrespectful. If there is one country that respects their elders, is Japan. They honor them. They respect them. They take care of them. And it doesn't mean that you listen to everything that they say, because sometimes, you know, some old people are ignorant, and I'm saying it because, you know, I'm a senior. I'm going to say it as it is. They're ignorant. They lack knowledge. But doesn't mean that because they lack knowledge, you're disrespectful to them. No. Respect them. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, and you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We need to be respectful to these people that are coming in as immigrants in our country. We need to be kind to them, not treat them wrong, not cheat them, because God is watching. There's some bad people, yeah, there's some bad people. That, you know, they're coming from a different culture where they believe things are very different, where they have been abused. And so it is easy for them to be tough and mean, but we are to love them, be respectful to them, not cheat them. I know of heard things about immigrants that have gone to the Dallas area where they'll buy a truck and they sell those trucks in really high prices to them, because they figure that they might not get their money, you know, they might just take off and, you know, because there's no Social Security to attach to them or anything to get somewhere to get to them. So these people are taking advantage of them. I've heard of children that have come into our country where there were links with Americans with same addresses for many children until they found out that it was sex trafficking, that they were bringing these kids into the country and they were using them for sex trafficking. So that's evil. God doesn't want us to do that. That's happening under our own noses here in our own country. Be vigilant. Protect also the immigrants. They're in our country. They are now part of our country. It doesn't mean that it's fair. A lot of things are not fair, but it doesn't mean that we are acting ungodly towards them. God says it in his word. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have just balance, just weight, a just ephod, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you shall observe all my statutes and all my rules and do them. I am the Lord. It says, chapter 20, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who give any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. This Molech is a god, and they would give these their children to be sacrificed to this god. Today, I compare that to abortion. Abortion is not of the Lord. If you've aborted in the past and you made a mistake, repent, and God will forgive you. Don't continue killing your babies. I had a cousin who had two children already, and she says, well, you know, this thing about they need to respect women's wishes, and, you know, what about our bodies and this and that? She doesn't, and she's supposedly a believer, she says. And she's not, because she doesn't live like it. And we're taking another person's life. A baby is alive within us. There's scriptures that talk about that where God says that he knew us in our mother's womb. So God knows us from way before we were even looking like a human in our mother's belly. Thank God our mothers didn't abort us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be celebrating Mother's Day tomorrow. Do not abort your children. No matter what you're going through, there's a well-known minister named James Robinson, and his mother was raped by a coworker. And she decided to have him, and she put him up for adoption. If she had not put him for adoption, then she would have aborted him. He wouldn't have been the man of God that he became. He's still alive, I believe. And he's helped a lot of children all over the world. Another one that was adopted, whose mother was taken advantage by a minister, and she had this man. His name is Jason Upson. He sings the song Fly with the Angels. He had angels appear at one of his worship nights, and turns out that years later he met his real mother, and she was a prayer warrior. And she would pray for him, that she would pray that God would use him. She showed him everything that she would pray, and she would listen to his music, and she didn't know that that was her son. She would listen to that in worship. And so he has a long story. Also, my grandmother, when she was a young woman, she was taken advantage of a married man. My grandmother, her parents had been, I think they had been killed, and they were left orphaned. And they were put in an orphanage, a Catholic orphanage with nuns. Well, on one of her days that she went out, this one man took advantage of her. She knew who he was. He was married, and she became pregnant. They kicked her out of that orphanage. And she was given to her older brother. There later on, she met my grandfather, and he fell in love with her, and he told her brother that he would marry her. He became the father of my oldest son. And my oldest son never knew that she was adopted. Never knew until the end when he was becoming senile, and he was angry at her. She had left him in a home because she wanted to do some kind of surgery. And when he came back, he was upset with her. And he slipped out and said something like, because he wasn't her father and she was upset. That's how everything blew over. And that was like maybe a year or two before he died. But all her life, she never knew that she was adopted. He treated her just as loving as he loved his other daughters. So there's always a happy ending, one way or another. Never abort your child. And if the people of the land who all at all close their eyes to the man who he gives one of his children, wait, let me go back. Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against the man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to the man who he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then they set my face against the man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. One of the things that will help you not to get into that situation is by not having sex out of the marriage. Well, that's not always true. That can be part of it, but I've also known married people that have found it hard to have children and I've heard the husband telling the wife to have an abortion. One of my friends, that happened to her, and she listened to her husband. And she had this grief in her heart because she didn't want to do it and had a lot of depression. And that's how I met her. She lived across the street from me, and I noticed something different about her. And I got really close with her, and we would find things to do deliverance. And I found books to help her, and she did overcome it. She did overcome it. She became a Christian, yet he was a Christian, and he was telling her to do this. But she wasn't a Christian. And then she became a Christian and started serving the Lord, and the Lord set her free. She's a happy, happy mother and grandmother. She has lots of grandchildren. So there is forgiveness. There is freedom. But we don't give our babies in abortion. We were giving them up to the spirit of Molech. And if the people of the land do at all choose their eyes to the man, close their eyes to the man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against the man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Tell your family, tell your children, don't do this. There's always a solution. Girls, I've confronted girls. One girl wanted me to take her somewhere, and she was the niece of a friend of mine. And I started questioning her, and I asked her, well, where are you going? What are you doing? The Holy Spirit had me asking questions. And then when I found out that she was having an abortion, I said, oh, no, I can't take you. I can't take you there. I'm sorry. I can't do that. That's wrong. And so we stopped it, and she didn't have an abortion. Verse 6, if a people turn to mediums and necromancers whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Sorry, I don't have my glasses. For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. There are people, there are children they can't wait to get out of the presence of their father and mother. Their children that they curse their parents and wish they weren't around them and they treat them wrong. When you don't honor your parents, your life is shortened. There is a promise that when you do honor your parents, your life is made long. So there is that promise. Respect your parents. Honor them. Verse 10. If a man commits adultery with a wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If a man lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood is upon them. If a man lies with a male, as with a male, a woman, sorry. If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man makes a woman and her mother also, it is depravity. He and they shall be burned with fire. That there may be no depravity among you. If a man lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and lies with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. All these things are happening now. You may not think so, but there are depravities and abominations that are going on. This is not something that I'm saying. This is what the Word of God is saying. The other day, through social media, and this is how silly people can get about their heritage. Oh, I'm Irish. I'm from England. Oh, we have ancestry from Spain, and we have blah, 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 and on and on. And no, we're pure, you know, English and this and that. You know, if you're pure something, the most likelihood is that maybe there was a lot of incest in your family. Most human beings are mixed with something from different parts, from different ancestries. I myself have so many ancestries from different parts, including Jewish. And I saw an announcement of a DNA from some company. I won't mention the company. And the guy would say, well, where do you think you're from? Well, I'm from this part of the world. I'm sure that I'm 100% and blah, 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 blah. Well, the results came out, and he had a whole host of different parts of the world. Some of the people that were in the group that were getting their DNA also taken, he was cousins with them and didn't even know it. He said, oh, I'm a man of the world. He was literally a man of the world. Sometimes you think that you're from this or that. You know, you don't know where you're from. There is, in high school, when I went for a short time in Puerto Rico, I went to school. And in Spanish class, they would give us poems. And while I was learning to speak Spanish, they had a poem called, "And Your Grandma, Where She's At? Where She At?" In Spanish is, ¿Y tu abuela, dónde está? In other words, and your grandma, where she at? Because there's such mixtures of different nationalities, even in our own island, that people think that they're so white. And they actually may have African in them. And many of the old people, the rich people back then, would have a grandmother that was dark-skinned, but they would keep her in the kitchen. That's where grandma was at. And so it kind of, that poem kind of made fun of the idea of people thinking that they were, you know, whiter than everybody else and, you know, better than everybody else, but yet They had skeletons in their closet. And your grandma, where's she at? So, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. That's homosexuality. This is what the Word of God says. I'm not saying it. This is the Word of God. We have to follow. Be holy. We have to follow what God says is holy. If a man, verse 17, if a man takes his sister and a daughter of his father or a daughter of his mother and sees her nakedness and sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the children of their people. He has uncovered their sister's nakedness, and he shall bear their iniquity. If a man lies with a woman during her menstrual period and uncovers her nakedness, he has made naked her foundation, and she has uncovered the foundation of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Hey, people that do this end up getting pregnant and having babies that are retarded. Retarded. Just through the other day, through a social media, I saw a group of people that they intermingled among themselves, and there was a lot of retardation, a lot of problems with their family, even deformities in their eyes. It is sad. It's something that God said back then, and it's something that he still says today. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, in other words, your aunt, for that is to make naked one's relatives. They shall bear their iniquity. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. That's the curse, childlessness. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. But in the exception that if the brother dies, then the wife of that brother that died, the brother-in-law could take her as his wife to keep the brother's bloodline going. That was something that came after. And so, but that's God saying, not us. You shall be holy. You shall, and because that person passed away, there's no more link to that person. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my rules and do them. That land where I am bringing you to live may not be vomit you out. You shall not walk in the customs of the nation. That's the key word. To be set apart, you have to be set apart from the customs of our nation. Whatever the world is doing, we don't do it. Driving out before you. For they did all these things, and therefore I detested them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the people. We need to separate ourselves, and I don't mean to separate from people and not talk to them. No, separate ourselves by showing others that we belong to God, that God does things a different way. That's the separation, not separation. And maybe in some cases, yeah, you do have to separate because they're perverted people and you don't want to hang out with people like that. But when people look at you, they know that you are different, that you walk different, you talk different, you live different because you love God. And you don't do all these things to gain God's acceptance. You already are accepted. You already received him. You do it because you love him and you want to be obedient to him. So I'll leave you with that. There's many more, but that's part of being set apart. I'll take calls now. And give me one second here. Thank you, Jesus. All right. My first caller, 828-442, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. It's Jennifer from North Carolina.
All right. Give me a minute. Jennifer. Thank you, Jesus, for Jennifer, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Because she's separating herself for you in all the sense of the word. And so, Lord, we just thank you for her life. Thank you, Jesus. I sense that when you began your journey with the Lord, you were like walking at, you know, the speed that you were getting closer to him was you walking on foot, right? But I see that God has given you like a bicycle to get there a little quicker. And I sense that God is bringing you into a place where as you continue to walk the way that you've been walking, things are going to be changing. It's going to be like you being in a car to get there. But right now, I see you like in a bicycle. Like the speed that you're getting to do the things that God is asking you to do, it seems to be like in a bicycle. It seems to be taxing, but you're moving. But there's another level that God's wanting to bring you in where you're relying totally on the Holy Spirit, and it's going to feel like you're in a car, and the car is taking you there. And so the Holy Spirit is guiding you. And I see changes in your life. I see that as you continue in this path, that it's going to get easier in a sense. And so we thank you, Father, for her obedience. We thank you, Lord, for her trust in you. We ask you, Father God, that you would help her, Father God, that the mistakes in life are used as a teaching tool, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, because she's learned a lot of things from her past mistakes and that she will use those to tell others, to help others to get to you even faster. And so passing the baton, as you may put it, it's not going to be used for naught. It's going to be useful. The things that you have gone through, God's going to turn those things around for your good and for the good of others. For what the enemy meant for evil in your life, God's going to turn it around for your good and the good of others. So we thank you, Lord, for Jennifer. We ask you to bless her tonight. Bless her family in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
Hallelujah. Hi.
How are you?
Hallelujah. Hi.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hi. Yes. Praise Jesus. Yes. I'm sensing things are speeding up. I'm good.
Can you speak a little louder?
I
hear you.
Yeah. I'm good. Having just seeking discernment from the Lord and relationships and things like that in my life, because I don't want to move without him.
Yeah. You know, but what the enemy means for evil, God turns it around, right?
Yeah.
And then the enemy wishes he had not messed with you.
Very true. Very true.
Right?
Yes.
So.
Yes.
We learned Praise We're God. All learning. We're all learning. How yeah. may I help you tonight? Do you have something you want to say? Something that do you want to give your testimony tonight? Because I have asked last week people to have their testimonies, a quick testimony of how you came to the Lord.
Oh, how I came to the Lord. Oh, wow. Wow, that's a long one, but I can tell you what he's doing recently, which is, like, he's restored. I guess it's showing me who he created me to be, bringing my self-worth and love in my life, and just completely every wound from childhood he's been healing. He's literally, I have no money for, like, counselors or anything, and he's literally just gives me what I need, like, puts a book in my hand that has taken me through steps over the last, I'd say, 2 years. It's really been remarkable. I'm experiencing his peace and the joy of the Lord, like, consistently. It's been amazing. He's bringing me to fullness. Like, yeah. I'm feeling light and a lot of peace. Just want to walk with him. But I hope that a bicycle is a big wheel. I hope it's this, like,
so tell me, how did,
I'm ready.
How did that happen? How did you come to the Lord?
Well, I grew up Catholic, so I went to parochial school for 12 years. So I always loved Jesus, and, you know, but obviously that was, like, wrong. Like, God's taken me to a place where, you know, he definitely brought me out of that. He didn't bring me out of it. I think other people did. I kind of got away, and it was actually during an abusive relationship. You know, I just started crying out to him, and he introduced me to somebody who reintroduced me to the Bible, and I fell in love with the Word. I could not get enough of it, and that was about 15 years ago. And it's just been, like, he's been, I have a relationship with him now, I guess you want to say, but I can say that I have a relationship. It's not a religion or anything like that, but, I obviously didn't know him like that before. I feared him more. He was more of somebody to be feared, somebody who was going to punish me, things like that. And it was just a chore, you know, mass chore, a chore, things I didn't understand. But I have family that still needs to be delivered from that religious spirit. So hopefully God will continue to use me in their lives for that.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
I love
that,
Lena, the song. I noticed that you've played that song last several, you know, that's like my song with him. That is just like the deep place of intimacy for me.
Yes.
And the journey that I'm on right now, I mean, it speaks a lot. And I love that song. It's kind of been my journey, the garden, and him weeding and just nourishing and just making it a place for him to live. So, praise God.
Praise God. Wonderful testimony. All right. Is there anything you want to say? Anything that God was showing you this week that maybe something that will help somebody else?
He's been showing me a lot this week. Mostly he's been, and I feel like it's for a book, he's been showing me counterfeits. I just would say, like, to be aware that, you know, for everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit. And, you know, I think he's given me enough, though, that it's going to be a book, probably. But, yeah, you just have to be aware of that and really seek him. Like,
being set apart, allowing, doing what God says to do and helping us to stay set apart helps us to hear God better and see those things that are counterfeit that will be so obvious to us. But if we're not seeking God and doing what God and being obedient to what God says to do to set ourselves apart, then it's going to be really hard to distinguish because we're going to be, if we're not obedient to God, then we're going to be like the world. And if you're like the world, then you're not going to know the counterfeit because you're just like them. Right?
Yeah. So, I have a lot of, there's just a lot of people in my life that are still in the world, and it's hard, you know?
Yeah.
And like you were saying earlier,
intercession and prayer gets God's attention for them. God does hear, and sometimes that's the last thing we do for people. We want to tell them, but we don't spend time fasting and praying for them and seeking God that God intervene. Not always is it for us to go in and do something. Sometimes it's just for us to just pray. He can use whoever he wants. He can use whoever he wants. And so sometimes even in prayer, God will say, I want you to go over there and do this. But prayer. Pray for others. Praying for others. And praying for God to open their eyes. Yeah. For the scales to come off.
Yeah.
Just today, I have a friend, and she gave me a testimony that her brother, these are older folks, they're senior citizens. Her brother got born again. She was so happy about that. I was like, oh, praise God. She goes, yes. She was so happy. And I'm like, that's good news. That's real good news.
Yes, that's amazing. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, is there anything else you want to share?
No, not right now. There's a lot coming now. There really is.
Okay, so. Well, you have a wonderful week. And
thank you.
Keep on signing for Jesus. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Next caller, 540-720. Your name and where you're from. Hello?
Hello?
540-720, your name and where you're from.
My name is Lily Allen, and I live in Stafford, Virginia.
Lily?
Yes, Lily Allen. Yes,
where are you
Lily.
From?
I'm from Stafford, Virginia.
From Virginia, okay. Give me a minute, and let me put you on mute, and then I'll get right back with you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Lily from Virginia, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the sister. Sometimes people, I'm sensing the word loneliness. And I sense that sometimes people are lonely because people have abandoned them. But sometimes that's not the case with everybody. Sometimes people are lonely because they've abandoned others. They don't want to do anything with others because they've been so hurt. And I'm sensing this loneliness, and I just want to let you know that God sees a lot of potential in you that you may not think that you have much to give, and you stay away, and it's causing you to feel lonely. Sometimes these feelings of loneliness vanish away when we give ourselves to others, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to others for the kingdom of God. I heard this one testimony from this one lady, and she was going through a deep depression. She was feeling lonely. And the Lord, she finally got the courage to start praying because she had even stopped praying. And she felt like the Lord was telling her, get up and go to church. It was hard for her. She wasn't even wanting to bathe. That's how bad she had gotten. And she went to church and saw someone else that was crying at the altar. And she started praying for this person and ministering to her. Her heart broke for this person. She knew exactly how this girl was feeling because she knew how it was feeling for her. And so she had this compassion, and she reached out to her. Oh, my God, the girl got set free that night. And she hugged her. And before you knew it, this lady felt that depression lift off of her as she gave herself to someone else sacrificially, knowing that she was having a hard time, and she extended herself to somebody else. She was set free. She helped somebody to be set free, but she got set free too. And so I'm sensing this about you, that even though you're around people, but it's like you're not around people. And the Lord wants to use you because he knows that you can reach out to them. There are some people that only he has you in mind to touch and reach out to these people. And you know you'll understand them because you know how it feels. Well, Father God, I thank you for Lily. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Lily's life. I thank you, Father God, because you've made her so intelligent. Yeah, I got to tell you that, Lily. The Lord wants you to know that you're really intelligent. You're really intelligent. For some reason, you need to know that. You're really intelligent. And he wants to use you. I don't know if you're already being used at church or what, or maybe this is something different that God wants you to do because of the fact that you've gone through certain things. It may be that this new area that he wants you to move into is the area that's really going to matter, because he knows what he's done in you. He knows how to use you. So allow him to use you in those areas that you never thought that you could possibly be used, and watch what God does. Watch what God does. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let me look for her number. Lily, hi.
Yes. How are you doing?
This is good.
Amen.
How are you, my dear? What's going on?
Well, I called in to the prep. I have a vertigo problem. It's really getting bad.
Okay.
And I'm off balance, and I'd like want to do the things that God really would have called me to do. But suddenly, I've had been attacked with this vertigo, and feeling like I can't do anything. It just keeps me down. And I had a prayer line, you know, once about for 14 years, and then people just thought you're just getting off the prayer line, and so I don't know what he. I still keep it open sometimes. I don't know about to come on there, but I don't know what he wants me to continue on doing this with the prayer line or not. And I've been ministering to people, you know, different places like that. But it seemed like maybe this vertigo is not attacking me where I can't hardly do anything now. I mean, I can do some things, but it's in that, you see them as getting worse, I'm off balance, and it don't make me feel good.
How long has that been going on?
The vertigo, but I've been having the vertigo for a long time. It's just in my inner ear that, and I also have a tumor in the back of my head. I don't know what, if they said that wasn't having anything to do with it, but. As I was in my inner ear, and it's been going on for some time, and now it's getting, I'm 88 years old now, so I guess you have to get older, it gets worse.
Okay. But with God, nothing's impossible. We'll pray.
Amen.
We'll pray, yes. And God has still stuff for you. You're still, there's something that God wants you to do, and I don't know, maybe it's to direct the way that you're doing things. It's not that you were doing anything wrong. It's just he's tweaking things in your life to make you align to where you're going to be very, very useful. So, Father,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for Lily, Father God. The enemy is a liar. He's trying to attack her with a vertigo, Lord. I just pray, Father God, for that inner ear right now. I pray, Father God, if there's anything that's in there, water or a tumor, whatever it may be, Father God, we could curse that right now.
We command
the water to dry out. We command that anything, whether it's a wax or tumor or whatever it is, we curse that right now to the
root
in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you cover her with the blood. We thank you, Lord, because you cover each and every one of us with the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father God, because you still have things for her to do.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, because this lie of the enemy that because as you get older, that it gets worse. No. In Jesus' name, no. Curse that right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the healing touch. We thank you for the blood that's flowing through every part of her brain and her head in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that touch right now. Touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Align everything that needs to be aligned. Move out what needs to be moved out and removed in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you because you are our healer.
Yes.
You're Jehovah Rapha. You are our doctor. You're the one, our healer.
Yes.
And in you do we trust. We trust in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the healing.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when... during the week, when you sense anything, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You keep rebuking that.
Amen.
And don't give it or don't say, well, maybe it didn't work. No, be careful what you say with your mouth.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
Be careful what you say with your mouth. You keep on rebuking and you keep on thanking the Lord. You go, the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
And continue reading scripture. Some scripture, some healing come quickly. Some come a little slower. God knows why he does it. We don't understand why. But the healing's already taken place. You continue to pray. Until the full manifestation. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and don't say anything contrary to it. Thank you, Jesus. And just keep on reinforcing it. Keep on praying. Keep on praying.
Amen. Amen.
And thanking him. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Father. Yes. Glory
thank
to God.
You, Lord.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
People think that it didn't happen, didn't work because, you know, the full manifestation. No, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it comes in slowly. One evangelist at one time prayed for people for their health issues, and he says, now don't go into the restaurant after you've been set
mm-hmm.
free and make things worse again, and then have to come back into the prayer line. Some people would lose their healing because they would do things that would hurt them. But sometimes look into this. Ask your doctor about niacin. Under the watch of a doctor, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
there is a deficiency in niacin, which causes vertigo.
What is that, niacin?
That's like a vitamin or a mineral, something like that, and they sell
mm-hmm.
it. But it's best to ask your doctor to see if you can go that route under the supervision of a doctor to see if, because it's a strong, it's not a medication. It's like a vitamin. Or mineral. Yeah, you need to, you know, be real careful with that and under a doctor's supervision to see if they can help you, to see if maybe that has something to do with it.
How you spell that? I'm going to write that down, how you spell that.
N-I-A-C-I-N.
N-I-A-C-I-N. N-I-A-C-I-N.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And that's a vitamin.
Niacin. Yeah. But some people can't just take it any old way. Talk to your doctor about it and
mm-hmm.
continue praising the Lord. It's done
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Holy
you know, God
glory.
Has different avenues of doing it, of bringing
yeah.
the healing.
Sometimes Amen.
It's through nutrition. Sometimes it's through a doctor. Praise God for doctors. Sometimes
Amen.
It's through something as simple as water behind the ear that has been stuck in there and it throws you off.
Amen.
But, yes, in Jesus' name, Lord,
Hallelujah.
We thank you for her healing. We thank you, Father God. That she's not going to have any more dizzy spells, vertigo, making everything go round and round. So we rebuke that in Jesus' name.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
All right, Lily. Anything else you would like to say? Do you want to give your testimony on how the Lord saved you?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to like to play spiritual records, you know, something like that. And I just kept on listening to them. I used to have dreams and different things like that, I was working, and this lady, I have two twins. Used to minister to me about being saved. It was on the job, and he's talking to me every day, and so. One night my husband was at work and I was in the bed and I turned over and the Bible just opened up and it opened up to the 91st song. And I started reading the Bible. So one Monday she told me, well, come on, go with me over to church and you'll get baptized just like that, you know. So then Monday when I went and got baptized, I came right back to the church, praise God, and I got down on my knees and I started speaking in tongues just like that. God just started filling me with the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That immediately, if I come back from the baptism, I just, hallelujah, just
uh-huh.
be caught. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you.
How old were you?
At that time, I was in my 30s, I believe. I'm 88 now.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm 88
wow.
now. And I have seven kids. I had one son passed a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And then I had
so
a sister passed. A sister passed a year ago. So I've been, you know.
No, I'm understanding about the loneliness.
Yes, I was just talking about my son tonight with another person. I was telling how much I miss my oldest son. I have 7 kids, and he's the oldest, and he passed during that COVID. Him and his girlfriend passed at the same time. They was in an apartment building, and we was calling him and couldn't ever get in touch with him. And then my son went up there to his apartment building where he was staying at, and the police went in there, and both of them was in there dead.
Oh, my.
Yeah, both of them was in there dead. And so that's been 2 years ago. And my sister just passed a year ago.
I'm so sorry for your loss. Yes, that's rough. Many people have passed away. But I believe that as we tell other people and as they start serving God and setting themselves apart for God, there is a protection.
Amen.
And you said it yourself, Psalms 91. And we have to pray that over our families. I believe that we have, especially now, I believe there's still things still happening and that we'll be kept safe and protected because
Amen.
Of our walk with the Lord, with our
Amen.
Walk with the Lord. And so it's very important to stay set apart for the Lord.
Amen.
Very important.
And
you're an example of it, 88 years old. Wow.
Amen. And something strange happened at the time when my son went up there to go into the apartment, and the police came, and they wouldn't let my son go in the building, but they sit on the outside of the place. And so when they got ready, this is my son saying, when they got ready to bring the bodies out, the whole complex lights went out.
What?
And the whole part, praise God, the whole build, the lights that went out in all the whole complex, until the he said, this is what my son told me. He said, Monty, he said when the car, when the cars come up riding up to pick the bodies up, and they go in the house, the lights, everything went out. They had to use their flashlight.
That's weird.
That was weird. And then when they brought the bodies back out and left, the lights came back on. That's what he said.
Wow.
All the lights went out in the apartment building. The whole complex went out.
Hmm.
I couldn't understand that one.
Yeah, that's really...
My son was a Holy Ghost filled man. He was
wow.
a warrior. He was a soul winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand
it's
how
definitely
I don't understand
attack.
It either.
It was an attack on him. Yeah, it's probably it was an attack on his life. Yes, we have to continue to pray, and we don't walk in fear. We continue to stay close to the Lord.
Amen.
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 And God's still going to use you. Do you do that? You're praying through the phone, the radio.
On the phone, I do it. I don't do it as often as I was in the beginning. Because I had another person working even with me, and they not there no more. And so me and my son. Sometimes we on the line, and sometimes another lady would come on the line. And I was just wondering, whether to keep it open and now to just being when nobody's there, or what to do with it. But I still be.
You will.
Huh?
There is something about. Ministering to other people and praying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have a lot of wisdom, things that you've seen, and I believe, and this is what I'm sensing, that God's going to use you. So don't stop, continue doing it, because there is an anointing that comes over us.
Man.
That when we minister to others, it helps us also. We're the channel, we're the vessel. And you'll definitely benefit from it. So I that's what I'm sensing. I sensed that from the beginning, but because of loneliness, I guess all this stuff that has happened to you, you kind of set yourself apart, but no, not in that way. Don't do that. Continue serving the Lord.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. All right.
All right. That's a good thing through the phone. That's a real good thing that keeps you, no matter how you feel, you're still there. And
Amen.
There's always somebody else. If you need somebody else, there's always somebody else. Just pray and ask the Lord, you know, to help you to connect with somebody to help you continue to do that, okay?
Amen. All right.
All right. All right, Lily. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
I'm
call
God
again.
Budget.
We're always here on Saturday.
All right. I sure
right,
will call. I call back on Friday. And by the way, I enjoy that message.
Amen.
I really enjoyed it. I was sitting there the whole time I came on here. I've been here before, but I hadn't been here in a long time, like probably some years. And then I was looking through my book tonight, praise God, and I saw the number. I said, "When is the number still? They still there?" And then I called, and the music was playing, and I just stayed and waited.
Yeah. We have Monday through Thursday. Prophet Randy comes in the evening. He still does PGM. And there's all these different ministers through the weekend and through the week, too. Earlier, before he starts his show, there's other ministers that come on. We have Deanie. We have LaShawn. We have Terrence and Tanisha. We have Angela. Jeannie and who else did I know I missed somebody.
I enjoy that message. That message was good.
Any time of the week, and you'll find somebody, one of us on, there's always somebody. So join us during the week from Monday through Thursday. Prophet Randy's on, and he does communion on Thursday night.
All right.
Well, God bless you.
Bless you, too.
Bye-bye. All right. 919. Give me a minute. Let me organize myself over here. The people drop off, and then they come back on, and what it does is it changes you from the queue. All right. 919-995, your name and where you're from. 919-995. Hello? Unmute yourself. I'll come back to them. All right. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, it's Sarah from Alabama.
Hi, Sarah. All right. Sarah from Alabama. I just heard the song. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right, Sarah. Everything's gonna be all right because Jesus is with you. I see it's gonna be all right. I don't know what you're going through, but it's gonna be all right. Lean on him, trust him, it's going to be all right. You've gone through a little journey there, a bumpy ride, but it's going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for Sarah. I pray for your peace that passes all understanding to come over her, Father God. Touch her, Father God, and bring encouragement, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bring other people to bring encouragement in her life, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lift her up, Lord. Lift her up. Lift her up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen and amen. Oops. All right. Sarah, how are you, dear? Hello, Sarah? I can't hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, I can hear you. Hi,
okay.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm doing all right. Chilling.
Oh.
Do you want to give your testimony tonight? How the Lord saved you?
Yes, I would love to. Well, I got saved at the age of 30. What happened was,
oh, like the
I
lady
was...
that called before.
Yeah, I mean,
go on.
Yeah, and so, and it was, I don't know, I guess a trying time that for me. And so I ended up, I wasn't in church. I was at home. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I was at home and I was in my room. And I was just, I think it was an evangelist or someone that was on, and they were doing praise and worship. I got in this, I mean, the Spirit of God just hit me, bam. You know, I just was going, being so excited and elated that I couldn't stop myself from shouting, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And next thing I know, I went into speaking in tongues and my God told me language. And it was just something, you know, because
wow.
I really was, yeah. I mean, it wasn't, you know, at church or anything, and I wasn't like, okay, I wasn't expecting it, but it was miraculous because I was, you know, not expecting it. And so, and I was thinking, gosh, I said, how grateful I am and how merciful you are and forgiving you are, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you for your love and kindness. I thank you for everything you do. And just showing that, I guess, pretty much, I just got saved. I was in my room, and I had a glorious time with the music and everything. And next thing you know, the Spirit of God came in and took me over. And then I started speaking and God told me language. And I knew right then and there. And then after that, I went. I was baptized as a baby already. But I said, I want to do it myself. After doing that, and I went ahead and got baptized again. The old man went down and the new man came up. And I felt so refreshed knowing I was closer than ever before with Jesus. So that's it.
Wow. So you started speaking in tongues. You had seen other people speaking in tongues before?
My mother. Yeah,
wow.
My mother.
And how do you feel when you were, all of a sudden, these new tongues were coming out of you?
I was feeling great. At first, I think everybody has their own heavenly language, you know, how they speak and everything. But
mm-hmm.
mine is pretty much like mine is pretty much like Spanish or something. It because
mm-hmm.
I took Spanish in high school. So all of a sudden, boom, I was like, Lord, And it was like, yeah, you know, that's it. And I just had confirmation, and it felt great.
Did it come out fast? Did it come out slow? How, you know?
Fast.
Really fast?
Yeah, it was really, really fast, but it was, let me see, it was like this, like an, I was speaking, it was like a medium, it wasn't like what you call real fast, but once I ended up speaking, once the Spirit of God hit me and I was speaking, then it got fast, like towards the end, because at first I didn't understand what was going on, and then I realized, I told my mom, I said, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and she was like, of the Holy Spirit, and she was so happy for me. And then I was pregnant with Leah at the time.
Ooh.
And I was jumping up and down. I said, uh-oh. I better slow it down, because it was like when the Spirit of God, to me, hits you and everything, you may be having a pain in your body, but when you're under the presence of the Lord, you don't feel it. You know, when you're shouting and giving God the praise, you don't feel it at all.
So Leah was like John the Baptist, that she was the Holy Spirit touched her in the belly of the mom. That's cute. That's so funny. Right for Mother's Day, right before Mother's Day. Wow. I love hear stories like that. That is so awesome, especially the way it happened to you, that it wasn't at church, that it was you by yourself before the Lord. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Did you understand what you were saying or no?
Well, what I was saying to myself is, Lord, I love you. I thank you for forgiving all of my sins. I thank you for being the master of the universe, the Father, not only my Father, but you're everything to me. And that's what I said in my inner man, in my heart. So at that time, I was speaking in tongues, and I don't know if I was saying that, but I knew what I was saying in my heart. And my feelings in my inner man.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Well, God bless you. Do you have anything else you want to share? Or anything else you want to share?
Well, I don't know if I shared it with you. At work, I get on the... When it's time for the baby, well, I guess you would call them toddlers and infants and all, to take a nap, I get on the floor with them, and the one girl that worked with me, she was like, what's going on? You're getting on the floor with them? And I was like, yeah. She said, get a chair. I was like, oh, no, it's okay. And I would get down when it's time for them to take a nap, and rub them and, just give them all the care and love. And I felt like she told me, you don't want to do that because you don't want to hurt your knee. So I said, well, Lord, I'm just going to follow you and you tell me what to do. So I think I'll do it until God tells me not to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, follow the Lord's leading, and you know how to follow him. You can hear him. That's wonderful. I love that. I love that. The fact that you got born again and you weren't in church. I love that part. I love that part. Because you don't have to be in church. You can be anywhere, and you can worship the Lord, and you can be saved anywhere. the same thing happened to me. I got born again in my kitchen. I was speaking in tongues. I was watching TV. I was watching a minister, and I said the prayer. And then about on the 8th of November, 1989, I think it was, in my kitchen at 8 in the morning, I'm worshiping the Lord, and my tongues come out. And they felt like a machine gun. Really? And I felt that I wasn't alone. I almost got a little scared, but I felt somebody in front of me and somebody behind me. And then the Lord showed me that they were angels, and they were tall. I could sense that they were really tall. Mm. And the tongues were really strong and really fast. And so I went to church that night, and the ladies wanted to pray over me for tongues. I go, no, I already got them. I got them at home. So I love that about your testimony, because that's what happened to me. I received them alone at home. I was worshiping. There's something about worship that draws in God's presence. God's presence gets drawn in. He loves it when we worship him. His presence comes in, and whatever we need, God touches. You know, when we give him what he needs, which is worship, he gives us what we need. It's like an interaction. It's like a love affair between two people, that she's loving him and he's loving her. And that's exactly how it is with us and God when we worship him. We're loving him and he's loving us back. And so it's just awesome. It's us alone with him. That's why I love that song that I play, The Garden, because she talks about it. You know, she says, you know, I'm yours, you know, and she's alone with him. It's nobody else. It's just God and us. That's it. And that's intimacy. That is intimacy. Mm. So I love it. I love that, you know, when people have testimonies of when God has done something in their life, just them by themselves, nobody to minister to them. It's just them and God. It's just a lovely thing. It's beautiful. So,
yeah.
All right. So you want to say anything else?
Well, I'm just so, you know, I think back in 2000, when COVID first came, I remember, this is just something in reference to Prophet Landy and PGN. I remember when COVID came around, and I was, you know, I had a cold or something, you know, and then later on I couldn't catch my breath. Well, I prayed, you know, with Prophet Landy, and he was like, okay, and then we prayed together. And so I just thank the Lord that when I was in the hospital, that God spared my life, because my sister didn't think I was going to make it. Everybody thought, you know, this is it.
Oh, wow.
But I received prayer, and I thank the Lord for saving me. Yeah.
You know, it's still going around. I have a friend. She's a lawyer, and she has health issues. And this is about her fifth time that she's gotten COVID, just because her immune system is so low. I haven't gotten it. I've been okay, thank God. But part of it, I believe, and, you know, I keep thinking about Prophet Randy's incident years ago where he saw two accidents. I don't know if it was in the span of the same day or the same week. But he saw one and then saw a second one. And I wonder if there's something else is coming our way, like COVID. And I believe that God is preparing us and showing us how to stay under the umbrella of his protection. and showing us what we need to do. It's not just, praying, but doing what God is saying to do, because that is also protection, like what I've been talking tonight about, being set apart, doing what God says. Setting ourselves apart helps us to stay in his protection. And so when we know all these things, we pray. We pray Psalms 91, and we pray for our families and all this. That keeps us safe. I honestly think there's something else coming down the pipe. Something else is fixing to brew again, and I'm not sure. But I'm not in fear, because I know our God, he did it before, and he'll do it again. And so we know what to look for, and we know where to stand before the Lord. So, there's things coming, and financially, with health, with all this stuff, but we got it, because we got God. God, greater is God than he that is in the world. God's got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to keep praying. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So I'm just excited that that the Lord allowed me for you to say, well, how did it first happen? How your relationship with Christ, when did it first happen? I mean, it was when I was 30 years old. And, sometimes it's the most, when you're at home or wherever you are with the Lord, it pulls through even stronger, because it's just both of y'all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It has to start by you and him first. I mean, it starts from the inside out. That's why I always play that song. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's an intimacy between us and God that has to be developed alone. A husband and wife, if they don't spend time together and they don't spend time developing their relationship, and they only come together once a month, they're not going to have a marriage.
Mm-mm.
They have to spend time together to know each other, to really know each other, and to hear each other. And so we do too. We need to spend that time with the Lord as a group, as a body, but also apart. But there's going to be, who knows? Look what happened in COVID. Were people able to join together? No, they weren't. But they could do it regardless, spending time with the Lord, just them and God. And that made it so much sweeter and stronger. So, there's something about that. I love that testimony of yours, that you spend time in worship, spending it before the Lord, and what God did in your life that night. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Sarah. Is there anything else you like? Do you need prayer? Do you want to say anything else?
Oh, well, I'm glad I've came back to the ministry, and I'm just excited about that. And my daughter Leah, she likes to hear Prophet Randy's voice as well, so I'm just excited about that. And my prayer would be just to have health and wellness, and that's all. And a closer relationship with the Lord.
Yes. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Sarah. We ask you, Father God, you know her heart's desire is to feel well, to be well, so that she can do the things that she needs to do to help others. Her heart's desire is for your kingdom. Lord, we just ask you to touch her and give her rapid healing, and help her not to hurt herself in any way, Father God, and wanting to speed up the process and do things. And we just pray, Father God, that in your timing, that you would allow her, Father God, to move in head on with ministry. And Lord, we just thank you for Leah. that baby that was in her mother's womb, also being filled with the Spirit. We ask you, Father God, that you touch her, that you do a marvelous work in her life, Father God, that you would touch her, Father God, to bring healing to the lives of those that she attends to. Help her with school, help her with her finances, and guide her, Father God, and allow her to be surrounded by godly people, people of like-mindedness, Lord, for the kingdom of God. Keep them safe, Father God. Cover them, protect them, keep them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good evening.
Mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day tomorrow.
You too. Happy Mother's Day. And to all of the mothers that I didn't say anything, happy Mother's Day too. All right, girl. Love
you. Okay, thank you. Love you.
Bye-bye. All right, 919-995, I'm coming back to you again. Your name and where you're from? 919-995. Well, I'll come back to them. If not, I'll pray for them later. 111-111, your name and where you're from?
It's Barbara from Texas. How are you?
All right. God bless you. I'll put you on mute. I'll be right back. Thank you, Jesus, for Sister Barbara. Oh, it's all right to ask for help. It's all right to ask for help when we need it. Sometimes the seasons in our life change. And as much as we hate to admit that we need help, it's all right. There's nothing wrong. That doesn't make us weaker. Just making us wise, because we understand that when we can't, we need help. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the areas that she may need help, Lord, I pray, Father God, ahead of time, that you would bring people that will help, that will give her the help that she needs in this season that she's living in. And we thank you, Lord, because you're bringing her into other things. Just because we need help in some things doesn't mean that we need help in other things. We can be just as strong in other areas. And so we thank you, Father God, for the wisdom you give her to know the difference when you're strong and when we need help. And I sense that you're really strong when you're in prayer. There is a strong, there's an area in your life in when you're in prayer that you're at your strongest. You're at your strongest, and that's where you belong. In that time of prayer, you and the Lord. God needs intercessors like you. Thank you, Jesus, for this woman of God that knows how to call heaven down and pray for those that need it and get answers. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, for her family, for her daughters, for her grandchildren, Father God, that you touch them, that you help them, Father God, and those with health issues, that you resolve their issues, their health issues, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, Sister Barbara, how are you?
excited, happy, thanking God for using you and Dr. Randy and all the others. Oh, wow. I am just so happy you didn't miss it. I was praying heaven down. And the Lord just moved on me, and I saw this antique old white truck passing by my yard, by my house. And it just waited and waited. And I saw this man in a white suit, white shoes, white shirt, white everything. And he had this hair, when you were talking about the heritage, I don't know what he looked like, Egypt or that skin color. And he had these eyes that slanted down. And he had curly hair, like combed back, sort of. But it was just a different grade of hair. But it was curly, like big chunky curls. And it always, it was looking like it was mixed with, like, my hair. Because if you mix with, I guess, like a little Indian, then you got a different grade of hair. And so he stood there in his truck and waited on me and waited. And then I went in there and I changed clothing. And the clothing was tight. And then I'm like, okay, let me put on another garment. So I put it on. It was a little, not as tight as the first one. I said, okay, Lord. So I put on another one. It was kind of big. And then by then, this young man got out of his truck, came in my house, and he waited on me. And he waited and waited, and I took too long. So he got in the truck, cranked up, pulled by my driveway, and pulled down real, real slow. And when he pulled down slow, he was still waiting on me. By then, I changed into another outfit. And it was all white. It was beautiful. I thought it was a wedding looking something. But it didn't come all the way down to the floor or anything. So I said, Lord, now show me when you wear white clothing. I said, that represents holiness, purity, innocence of right standing with God, or a bride or a virgin. And I said, so I said, Lord, clothes that's all white, that means you're pure and you got a clean of heart, almost sainty, like S-A-I-N-T-L-Y, sainly. You live a very transparent life, but you tend to be hard on yourself considering you need to lighten up. And I said, well, Lord, what is the change in clothes when it is, why did I keep changing clothes? He said, because you're in a new season in life, just as a new season of the year means a wardrobe. You change to meet challenges of the atmosphere, the world around us. And if you are constantly changing clothes, you're meeting the needs and challenges of life as they are presented. And you have an uncanny ability to rise to each and every occasion. So it's easy for you to change roles and to demonstrate the various dimensions of your gifting and ability. And I said, okay. I said, this is just the same stuff Carmen been giving me every time we talk. And I said, well, then, Lord, what is the clothing type? He said, if you outgrown your clothes or they fit and it's tight, you have grown into your talents of gifting and anointing. So expect a promotion and expansion of authority in new areas of your life. So alternatively, you may feel that others have been placing too tight of boundaries or restriction around you, limiting your ability to expand. He said, but take in new territory. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, I got to call Carmen. I got to let her know that everything that she talked about from the beginning of the message for the show, I said, he gave me Exodus, the early part of the week, Exodus, I think it was 13. I said, oh, my God, she didn't miss a beat. And, you know, if you look at Exodus, it's talking about everything you talked on tonight. It was talking on more like, let me find it. It was talking on your whole message, to be honest with you. Exodus 13 chapter. And I said, do Carmen know this sword? Because she hit it with her hammer on the head. She hit that nail. She took that hammer and hit that nail on the head. And I, as I was reading it, it was talking about everything. And the Lord said, that anointing that I'm raising you up to, that's why you got to be set apart. Now, that's in Exodus 13 and 12. God shall set apart unto the Lord and open the matrix. I mean, it's the whole thing. You got to read the whole thing. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't even know. Was it 8? Exodus, the 13th chapter. And then I also was it the 8th chapter? Girl, you came with all of it. I don't know. I read, he gave me so much. He gave me so much to talk about the land with milk and honey.
Set apart. Yeah, we have to be set apart. What's coming, we have to be set apart because, it's, you know, we have to stay in obedience to what God says. It keeps us protected. We're using our armor, being obedient, because if we don't, then we'll... It can be dangerous too. It can be dangerous when we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to find ourselves being disobedient because it could be bad.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When it was all white clothing, that's the good thing. He said that lets you know, Barbara, that you're walking in a new gifting, anointing, more favor, new wisdom, and that prosperity is clothing you, Barbara. And I was like, oh, my God. And you talked on the whole, everything he gave me this week. And so I'm just grateful that when we're on the same page, the same mindset. And then I said, well, Lord, I said, I remember I stuck my hands in the sink. And I said, I asked you for clean heart, clean mind, and everything's here. My spirit's here. And you know what he said? He said, that's why the overflow, that's the favor of God. And the water began to rise up so much so that when I woke up this morning, my whole house was flooded. And all I could see was my Bible floating and my books. I had I have a whole shelf of nothing but books. But they were all in the water. And you know how you can study so long that you see all the pages coming apart? Well, I could see all the pages. And I saw all the Bibles. And I was like, wow, that is phenomenal. And then the Lord said, look up. When I looked up, the whole city was flooded.
The whole city?
The whole, all on my street, it was just white, clear water.
What?
And I'm like, yes, I've never seen anything like that. And I went to
a lot of rain?
Yes, it have, and the street had been flooded up. Like, you know how the water is underground? The little things in the street were bubbling, like going up and down, up and down.
But my grass was super
green. Yeah. With those little lids on them. Go ahead.
The help. That sometimes we need help. So that's what the guy was on your street for? He came to your street?
Hold on. Let me record that. Because I was like, why did I have these two dreams back to back? Okay, hold on.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, these were dreams.
He said that's
these
why the man came. Uh-huh. And he was in an old antique white truck.
He was in a dream the
one morning, and then this morning I had that about the flooding. And it was all of my Bibles and everything I had, all my books on dreams and visions and all my paperwork. And I saw I said, well, maybe I need to look up drowning or something. And so the Lord was telling me, when you were saying that's why that man came by. Well, this man, when he came by, he had an antique old white truck. And I said, trucks and vehicles represent the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he had was white. So the Lord was telling me to look for this this person is coming to me. And when I saw the person, I said, Lord, I don't want the counterfeits around me either now. But he said, that's why I showed you the white suit, the white shirt, the white socks, the white shoes, the white truck. I said, okay, Holy Ghost.
Okay, now I get it. I thought it happened for real. So this was a dream with a man that was dressed in white in a truck waiting on you, and you were dressed up in white, and you changed several clothing.
Yes, and they were all like, it was like I was in this big old closet, like a new closet I've never seen before. And every time I would change, this man had the patience to keep waiting and waiting on me. And I took so long, but I was standing there, but I was ready at the end. And I said, well, maybe it's about the bride and the virgin. That's what I see.
Well, maybe that was the Lord. Maybe it was the Lord waiting on you.
Yeah.
The
I guess
Lord
he was
waiting on
you. I've been preparing you all these years, like the sister said, like when y'all were talking about the Holy Ghost and getting saved. And see, when you're a PK kid, this is the only world you know. But you have to grow in different mantles. And he was saying something about the promotion and what I placed upon you. You're ready. You are ready. And I was like, wow.
Sister
I'm so
Barbara.
Excited.
How did you get born? How did the Lord bring you to salvation?
Well, you know how we do different revivals? And as a child, you get baptized and everything, and then you want it again because you want that fire anointing. And so I read, I study, I fast, I pray, I do all the above. I mean, there is no box unchecked because you got to spend time in the presence and soak. You got to soak in the presence. And so that's what I was thinking about with the water. So, but when I lifted my head up because it was getting so full, guess what I did? I went to my nightstand, and the water was so full, I put on a ring, and I got my earring. I said, now I'm complete. I'm ready, Lord. And I said, well, all I got to do is just swim now. I said, because that when I looked up, the water wasn't just in my house. It was all in the city, and I could see the whole city full of water on my street everywhere. And you have to be at least two stories high to see it. And that's what I saw. Like, just papers, books, all my books. You know how you read a book so long that all the pages come loose, the front, the back? Well, that's basically how my bed looked, how I've studied reading, writing notes, reading. My whole bed is loaded with nothing but books and Bibles. Studying, years of studying in my bookshelf, you know, from the 90s. So I was just excited, you know, about what he was doing in my life and elevating promotion.
Did you come to the Lord? Were you a kid or an adult?
I was a kid, and then as time went by, I you know, being a PK kid, I asked to get baptized again, and I did that. And then later on, as I started pastoring and preaching, I started baptizing, and even in my city where I'm at, a lot of times the church teenagers are come, and we get out there and get baptized again because we're baptizing teenagers, and it'd be like a whole bunch, like five carloads. So we're constantly doing that. You know, it's
but
never enough.
How did you come to the Lord? How did you come to the
how
Lord?
How did I
what
come to the
story?
Lord?
My
story is, as I got a little older and I saw, like, I was getting ready to go out on my birthday. So I had on these gold mm-hmm. shoes, beautiful dress. And my mom asked me to come and visit. I said, well, Mom, I can't stay. I'm going out. I got to celebrate my birthday. And so I was way in the back of the church waiting on them so I could kind of sneak out a little bit. And there was a mm-hmm. revival going on. And I don't know what happened, but somebody must have called me up or called me out. And when they did, I danced the night away on my birthday. You know, like you know how you have on gold shoes. I'm thinking I'm going to celebrate and go out for my birthday. But I end up praising God at a church.
That's the best birthday.
Speaking in tongues. It's kind of like, you know how, to me, it's kind of like you reclaim your joy back. And so I said, well, it's my birthday. And I said, Mom, I'm going to do this for you one more time at your church. I have to go to my own church, not yours. So I came to visit Mama, and I said, I'll tip out about 10 and go celebrate because I'm late. And so somebody called me out and said, we want this sister to come to the front. And the Holy Ghost hit me. And you talking about somebody dancing the night away. I was kind of like Dorothy with those red shoes when she said, ease on down the road. And she had those red shoes, and she clicked her heels. Well, I had on some gold shoes, and I will never forget that particular. Now, mind you, I'm still young, and I'm in college and everything, and everybody was waiting on me for my birthday dinner because many times Randy would call me, Prophet Randy would call me. He said, what are you doing, Barbara? I said, we're at the restaurant. We're at the restaurant. The whole family is celebrating. So I danced my whole night away. I didn't even get to go out because I was speaking in tongues, praising God.
So your birthday,
and
your birthday was your also your spiritual birthday.
It was more like a spiritual birthday again. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Oh,
on my birthday.
The same your birthday. Wow, you can never forget that one.
But it was so many years ago, I don't remember. I got it written down somewhere, but I have to go find it. And so
mm-hmm.
once I had a chance to see the Shekinah glory when everything was white, there was white smoke everywhere. And I started speaking in tongues, and I was prophesying, didn't know it. And I also sung a song, Lord, fill my cup, let it overflow. Let it overflow with love. Let it overflow with joy, peace. I think a lot of people might have heard. It's an old song. And when I testified, that's how it came to the front. I said, Lord, I don't want you to just fill my cup up with joy, peace, love, and happiness and all this. I want you to wash my cup out whiter than hips out. I want you to wash me and then fill my cup and let it overflow.
How old were you?
So young. I think my children was, like, really, really young, like babies. I think Latoria was, like, maybe, like,
you were a young woman.
Four. Like, she might have been, like, 3 or 4, and then Angel was just a baby. And my oldest daughter, she was probably about 8.
Mm.
Yeah, because I'm 63 now, and the oldest is 44, and the middle one is 38, and Angel about 2 years under that, so she about 36 or 37.
Okay.
No, she 36.
So you were a young mom. You were a young mom.
I was a young mom.
Born again.
And my husband at that time was babysitting, holding the children so I could get, you know, so I could go out and enjoy my birthday with all my friend girls. They were all waiting on me, and I arrived late. It probably I had to tell them I was at church, reclaiming my joy and getting, you know, filled up, that overflow, that favor of God, that Shekinah glory. That's what I saw smoke. And I don't know how I didn't hit anything because I couldn't see anything. It was thick,
so you
white
were dancing
smoke.
In the spirit.
Well, I was walking. I was walking first. And after I started speaking in tongues, I couldn't see anything. My eyes were open, but everything was white. But the whole church
so
was filled up.
Got filled with the Spirit. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I danced the night away. And some gold shoes.
Well, that's a good birthday to remember.
Yes, ma'am. I remember them shoes. I still got those shoes. They were pointy-toed, brand-new shoes.
The cockroach killers?
I call them warfare shoes. You take the heel and just
Yeah, well, cockroach killers, demons, killing demons.
Cockroach killers, I don't know. He grabbed the toe part and just started hitting. But I danced for the Lord that night. You?
Praise God. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
I have not been the same ever again.
Amen. That's great. Wow. So you don't remember how old you were as a mom?
It was my birthday. All I remember. And I wasn't that. I probably was in my early 30s.
Okay. Another one in her 30s. The lady that called earlier, Miss Lily, she said she was in her 30s. And Sarah said she was in her 30s. Something about the 30s.
Something about the 30s. Because I remember, see, my daughter was born in 1980. And she weighed 2 pounds and 4 ounces. So...
Oh,
she wasn't about
anything.
8 years old, and I was like 21 at that time. I don't know when I had my baby. So it was the early 30s somewhere. Because I don't remember her exact age, but I know that she was somewhere.
Testimony night. Oh, wow. Well, praise God for godly mom. For godly mom.
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
godly
sister
mom.
Barbara, is there anything else you want to share with us or anything you
want
you to
pray about?
Well,
you covered it about the children. I hadn't shared anything about the children, but you prayed for their health and you prayed for those 11 grandchildren. And what more can you ask for Mother's Day?
Yes, today is
I'm
the
excited.
11th, too.
Oh,
well,
wow.
You have a good Mother's Day tomorrow. Enjoy your babies and your big babies, and you have fun in Jesus' name.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless
Amen.
You.
Love you. Happy Mother's
Amen.
Day to all of the mothers.
Love you. Thank you.
Love
all
you.
Right. Good
Bye-bye.
Night. All right. 919-995, your name and where you're from. 919, unmute yourself. They may have fallen asleep. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up 919-995. Lord, you know who they are. I pray you give them the peace of God that passes all understanding. Touch them, Father God. Help them, Father God, in whatever struggles they may be going through, Lord. You be their helper. You guide them. Yes, Lord. I ask you, Father God, for a refreshment, Father God, refreshment, refreshing their lives, Father God. Lord, I pray that anything stagnant in their lives, that it moves in Jesus' name. I pray you give them a fresh touch of your presence, Father God. Give them a fresh touch like never before, Lord. Lord, renew things in their lives in Jesus' name. Sometimes our lives are a bit stagnant, and it's like the same thing over and over again. And so I pray, Father God, that you just break this person off of that stagnant living in Jesus' name. Break that off of them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just pray that you direct them, Father God, in the path where it leads to you. Whatever they need to do, that Lord, Father God, that they, whether it's in a church, whether it's through a ministry, Father God, that I pray that you direct them their path. Direct their path to you in Jesus' name. Do a new thing. Do a new thing. Do a new thing in their life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. And I want to wish everybody tonight a happy Mother's Day. Have fun with your babies, with your aunts and your friends. You be blessed. Shine for Jesus. And God willing, we'll be here back next week. And blessings to you. Good night. Amen.